chapter 8, and let's read together from verse 26. This is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns, until he reached Caesarea. Amen. And this is God's word to us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a moment, and let's just pray. Father God, we pray in the stillness that you would just allow us to lay aside all of our thoughts, cares and concerns, and that you would allow us in these next minutes just to concentrate on you and your word. Help us, Father God, not necessarily to see and to hear the stammering words of your speaker this morning, but Father God, may we see you in all of your glory, and may we hear the words of truth that you will speak this day. Speak to our hearts, encourage us, challenge us, change us, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're out a few months back, one Sunday evening, I told the story of a long chain of people who were involved in leading Billy Graham to the Lord Jesus Christ, to becoming a Christian. And it began many years before, on a Saturday morning, 21st of April, 1855, with a gentleman called Edward Kimball. Edward was a Sunday school teacher. He taught kids at church, and not just little kids as we think of in Sunday school today. He taught the teenagers in a kind of all-age Sunday school. He talked to them about becoming Christians. Kimball was eager to share the gospel with one man in particular again, and to invite him to come to Jesus Christ. The young man in question worked in a shoe factory, and Kimball was at first a little bit unsure about going and calling on him during working hours. But he decided to go and to see him anyway. He went into the factory. He found the lad up the back, wrapping up shoes in paper and stacking them on shelves. Kimball went up to the lad and placed his hand upon his shoulder. There were tears in Kimball's eyes as he encouraged the young man to respond to Christ's love. Kimball said afterwards that the young man was so eager and ready for the conversation that there and then he gave himself and his life to Jesus Christ. This young lad was so eager to read and to learn from God's word, and so excited by Jesus that he went on to lead crusades all over the world and to lead thousands to faith in Jesus Christ. The young lad that Edward Kimball spoke to was a gentleman by the name of Dwight L. Moody. A name known probably to many of us, maybe not to some, but Moody was a great evangelist of yesteryear, and he, through Kimball's witness and through Kimball's eagerness to share the gospel with him, went on to share it with so many other people. Now, I'm not sure how the witness of Philip in this passage helped anyone beyond the Ethiopian official, but seeing the eagerness and seeing the excitement of this Ethiopian, I can imagine that one of the first things he did as he got back into his chariot was to head right back home to Ethiopia, right back to the palace courts of Queen Candace, and to share with everyone what he had learned about Jesus Christ. This morning I want us to think a little bit about being eager to follow Jesus. Eager to follow Jesus. We've seen the Ethiopian official who was eager. He was eager to be learning more. He is keen to be worshipping in Jerusalem. If we go back to the start of the passage there, he had been in Jerusalem. He had wanted to go all the way up so that he might learn more of the scriptures, that he might be able to worship God in the temple there in Jerusalem. This Ethiopian was an official in the courts of Queen Candace. More than being just any old official though, he had a privileged position. He was in charge of the whole treasury. He was a powerful man, the Alistair Darling of today, the Gordon Brown of yesterday. And this allows the man to take some time out, to head up to Jerusalem, to do what he wanted to do, to worship God and to seek to find out a little bit more about the scriptures. This journey would have taken him quite some time, but he was eager to go, and he had that privileged position. No doubt with being in a privileged position, he also had great wealth as well. But this man did not know Jesus Christ yet. And so in many ways, although he may have been rich materially on earth, spiritually he was bankrupt. He is on his way back from Jerusalem now, having worshipped God there, having sought to find out a little bit more. He's still eager to be learning more and finding out what life is all about. So as he's travelling along in his chariot, he's reading God's word. He is eager to read God's word. That's the first thing I want to think about this morning, being eager to read God's word. And so on his journey home, he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. He is reading the passage where Isaiah is prophesying that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come and would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers would be silent, and he would not open his mouth. But he's having just a little bit of trouble understanding what it means. But he's eager to be reading God's word nonetheless. And that's an important thing for all of us as well. Whether we know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Saviour, or whether we're searching for some truth at this point in time, it's vital to be reading God's word. God's word has all the truth we need in it. God's word chronicles the history of God's people. And indeed, it's not simply history as much as it is his story. Taking a little make on that word history there. It's his story. It's the story of God's creation of the world. It's the story of the preparations for Jesus coming into the world. It's the story of Jesus being born as a babe in the manger, taking on frail human flesh and living as one of us. It's the story of Jesus going on to show us how to live and pointing us back towards God. It's the story, the account of Jesus dying on a cross to save each one of us from our sins, taking the punishment which was rightfully mine and yours upon his back. And it's the story of his being raised from the dead on the third day and ascending into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. It is the story. It is his story. And all of us and all of that should make us eager to be reading God's word and to see for ourselves what is written there. But the Ethiopian was eager not just to read God's word, he was eager to learn from God's word as well. As he was travelling along the road, unsure of what he was reading, unsure of what it meant, Philip appeared beside him. The Lord had told Philip to head down to the Gaza road, and Philip had heard God, had obeyed God, and he had went to that place. He was eager to follow Jesus. He was eager to share with others all about Jesus. And he came upon this man in his carriage, and he heard him reading the words of Isaiah. And so he stepped up to the door of the carriage, he leaned in and he asked this man, a wee bit impetuous that, isn't it? Just leaning in something. Could you imagine leaning in a taxi window outside? What are you reading? Do you understand it? And yet Philip leaned in and asked the Ethiopian what he was reading and whether he was understanding it. And of course the Ethiopian said to him, How can I understand what I read unless someone explains it to me? And at this, Philip sat down beside the man. He opened the scriptures to him. He taught him from this very passage he was reading in Isaiah, and he went on to explain, we read in verse 35 there, the good news about Jesus Christ. The man was eager to learn from God's word, and he was so delighted to have somebody there to teach him the scriptures, to explain to him all about Jesus. And so Philip shared the good news about Jesus. What is the good news about Jesus? What is it about Jesus that has compelled Nan this morning, not just this morning, but Nan many years ago, to put her faith and her trust in Jesus, and then compelled Nan this morning to come and to publicly declare her faith in Jesus by going through the waters of baptism? Let me tell you quickly the good news, to remind some of us, maybe to hear it afresh for others. The great news started way back in the very beginning, as God created the world, a loving Father. He made the world, and he made humanity. He made you and I in his image. We sometimes look around and think, by jingo, he could have done a better job, especially when I look in a mirror. But that's another story. He made us in his image. And the best of God having created this world was that instead of controlling it himself, instead of controlling everything that we did, he gave us our own minds. He gave us our own will. He allowed us to make our own decisions. He placed responsibility for this earth in our hands. Is it any wonder we have global warming? Is it any wonder we see deforestation happening everywhere? Is it any wonder our world is in the state it's in? Because God was willing to leave it in our hands, and we failed. Humanity rebelled against God. We chose to do our own thing. It began with Adam and Eve in a garden, listening to a serpent, eating a bit of fruit that they'd been told not to touch the tree of. And from then on, men and women have continued to rebel against God. They have continued to do their own thing. They have continued to leave God out of their lives. And we are all part of that today. We still like to do our own things, don't we? Even those of us who have come to put our trust and our faith in him, we still like to do our own things from time to time. Thankfully now some of us don't ignore God anymore, but there are still many in this world who ignore God and who end up sinning against him. The news is that God would not let us rebel forever. The news is that he cares for us, and he wants to deal with our rebellion. He longs to draw us back to himself. However, in order to deal with our rebellion, there needs to be some kind of punishment, and that punishment was going to be death. That punishment was going to be eternal separation for you and I from God forever. God's justice sounds hard, it sounds harsh, but it's fair. He gave us control of this world. He allowed us to do what we wanted to do. All he wanted in return was for us to look to him and to live for him. But we chose to do our own thing. We chose to leave him out of it. If we ignore God all the time, how can we expect to spend eternity forever and forever with him? The news is that God loves his creation still today, as he did way back in the very beginning. He loves us very much. And so he sent his own son into the world. Jesus was born as one of us. He lived as one of us. He experienced what we experienced. And yet, as he went through his life, he kept looking to his Father in heaven. And he did not sin once. He did nothing wrong. He kept his eyes focused on God. And he showed us how to live our lives. And then in order to deal with a just God's punishment for sin, Jesus went to the cross as our substitute. He took your place and he took mine as he died upon the cross. He died that my sins could be forgiven. He died that I might get back into a right relationship with God the Father. We can be, each one of us, we can be God's friends now, rather than rebels against him. Jesus not only died, but he rose again on the third day, conquering death and evil. He ascended into heaven to go and to prepare a place for each one of us. Where does that leave us? It leaves us with a choice. A choice to either carry on in our rebellion, living our own ways, doing our own thing, which will result in that life spent apart from God, or we can choose to accept Jesus and the forgiveness he offers. In order to learn more about Jesus and his good news, we have to be like that Ethiopian though. We need to be eager to be reading God's word and learning from God's word. That means we need to be reading it all the time. That means we need to be coming to church to hear it preached from. It's not enough simply to come at Easter, to come at Christmas, to come on a day like today when it's a baptism. We have to be there week in and week out. And we could also go, if I carry on, we could also go to house groups and Bible studies and all of those kind of things. The important thing is that we have God's word and that we read it and we learn from it. What about this Ethiopian though? He was eager to read God's word. He was eager to learn from it. And Philip shared with him the good news of Jesus. And we have seen what that good news is. We have seen the choice that it leaves us. What decision did the Ethiopian make? Well, he was eager now to obey God's word. He decided to put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ and to live for him. He wanted to turn his back on his old way of living and to live for Jesus now. And that is a choice that many of us in this place have made already. It's a choice that Nan has made. Maybe this morning you need to make that decision as well though. And in a few moments I'll come back to that. But I want to give you space and time to make that decision in a moment or two. But I want to just tie this passage together. This official was eager to obey all of God's word. Not just some of it. Before Jesus left this earth to ascend back into heaven, he left his followers with a job to do. They were to go into all the world. They were to make disciples of all nations. They were to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A short while later, Peter would stand before a great crowd on the day of Pentecost. A short while after Jesus had ascended into heaven, a little while before this encounter with the Ethiopian, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. And he preached the good news to the people gathered around him. And they asked him what they needed to do. And Peter shared with them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "You must repent and be baptized." Firstly, they were to repent of their sins. They were to say sorry to God for all the wrong they had done, for rebelling against him, for choosing to go their own way and to do their own thing. And then they were to accept Jesus as Lord, acknowledging that he died in their place. After that, they were to turn around from their way of living. That's what repent means. It means to turn around from what you do and to seek to follow God and his ways. Having done this, these people were forgiven and saved. They need do nothing else. Jesus had done it all. The Bible teaches us that it's by grace, by the grace of God, that we have been saved. And having been saved and transformed, they wanted more. They wanted to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus had been baptized. Peter was encouraging them to do exactly the same. And in being baptized, they were acknowledging Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Saviour. They were declaring their faith in him. They were identifying with him in his death and in his resurrection as they went under the water and came back up again. And many that day, as Peter preached, were saved and baptized. Our Ethiopian friend, that day he learned the good news from Philip, was saved in a great and a wonderful way. And then he was baptized. He saw water. He asked Philip to baptize him there and then. He was so eager to obey God's word. And so Philip went down with him and baptized him at that point in time. Let me ask you this morning, friends, as we draw this part of our service to a close, what about you? Are you eager to read God's word? Are you eager to be learning from it? Are you eager even to obey God's word? If you're eager to read God's word but don't have a Bible, then come and grab me afterwards. I've got some sitting through there in the vestry that you can take away and you can read. If you're eager to be learning about God's word, then let me encourage you to make it a priority in your life to be back here this evening, to come here next Sunday, to go to the house group on Thursday evening, and I can tell you all about those. But maybe this morning you want to obey God's word. Perhaps you've heard the good news about Jesus Christ for the first time and you know in your heart that you need to respond to him today, that you need to turn your life around. Then friends, now is the time to do that. In a moment or two we're going to pray, and I would just encourage you to pray with me, to ask Jesus to forgive you, to ask him to come into your life to be your Lord and your Saviour. Perhaps though you've heard this message before. Perhaps you've heard it before, but you've wandered away. You've gone your own way. You've decided to make your own decisions all over again. You've decided to rebel against God once more. Maybe this morning you're hearing this word and thinking, "It's time I came back. It's time I came back." Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't just stand there once and accept you. He stands there to keep accepting you. He will keep standing there with his arms outstretched till the very last moment he possibly can, that you might be saved and transformed, that you might enter glory with him one day. Then this morning as we pray, maybe you want to pray with me as well. But perhaps this morning you are a Christian. Perhaps you put your faith and your trust in Jesus a few days ago, or maybe even a few years ago, and you've never gone through the waters of baptism. Friends, this morning God's word would say, repent and be baptized. No, they are two separate things. And repentance is all you need at the end of the day to go into glory with God forever and forever. But there's a command there that says, repent and then go on and be baptized. Witness publicly to your faith in Jesus Christ. Nan's going to do that this morning in just a few moments, publicly declaring her faith. Maybe you this morning are sitting here and you've never been baptized. Then let me say to you, think about it. Let me say to you, more than think about it, say to the Lord this morning, I want to do it. I want to follow you wholeheartedly, and come and speak to me afterwards. I'm going to arrange a date next Sunday, the Sunday after, for you to be baptized. By jingo, if I thought you had spare clothes with you this morning, what would stop us this morning from baptizing you if you wanted to be baptized? Philip, the Ethiopian who was with them, saw a bit of water and he said to Philip, what's stopping me? Philip got out the chariot and took him down and he baptized them. Friends, maybe this morning, and there's a big challenge for us this morning actually, maybe this morning you need to respond to him and you need to go through the waters of baptism. The water's there, we're going in. I'm sure there's a spare towel somewhere that we can wrap you in. But beyond that, if you want to think about it for another day, then come and speak to me afterwards. This morning, Nan has been eager to read and to learn from God's word. She's eager to be obedient to it by going through the waters of baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch was a man who was eager to be reading and learning, and so eager to obey. This morning, my challenge to each of us, my prayer for each of us, is that we might be an eager people, eager to be reading God's word, eager to be learning from God's word, and eager to be obeying God's word. Let's bow our heads for a moment or two, and let's just pray together. Just close our eyes and bow our heads. And in these moments, if you want to respond to God this morning, if you've heard something about that great news and you want to say to him this morning, Father, forgive me, then just pray these words with me in the quietness of your heart. Invite Jesus in, and he will come in, and he will change and transform your life. And let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge this morning that we are sinners. We acknowledge that we have for so long chosen to do our own thing, that we have chosen to leave you out of our thinking, to leave you out of our lives. This morning, Father God, we realize that that is so wrong. And so we ask that you would forgive us, that you would forgive us for the times we've failed you, that you would forgive us for the times when we have sinned against you. Father God, this morning we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. We thank you that he died on a cross to save us. We want to live for him now. Would you come into our lives today? Would you come in to stay? Would you allow us to be your children? Father God, in these moments, by your Spirit, be at work amongst people in this place that have said those words. Father God, for most of us this morning, we would want to say that you would pray and ask you to help us to keep being eager people. To be people who are eager to be reading your word always, to be learning from it, to be seeking to ask others what it means if we don't understand it, to be seeking, if we have an understanding, to share that with other people as well. Help us to be eager to be reading and learning. Help us to be eager to be obeying your word as well this morning. Father God, would you move in power in this place? Would you seal those commitments some have made to accept you as Lord and as Saviour? Would you seal those commitments of some who want to be baptized and who will come and speak to me afterwards? Father God, move in this place today. Not that any of us would take any glory, but that all the glory might go to you. Hear our prayers. Work amongst us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.